This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the authentic hadith, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated a fact, and he said that this religion began strange. Al-Islam began strange. What this means is that when Islam began, there was only a few number of believers, and things were strange. People had to wake up 1 hour before sunrise to pray Salat al-Fajr. People had to pay zakat al-mal on their hard-earned wealth. People had to abandon the idols and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things were not known to people before. These were all strange matters that came. Bada al-Islamu ghariba, al-Islam began strange. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا. And Islam will return strange, just like it started strange. Meaning that the adherers and the followers of Islam at the end of time is going to be a small number as well. And many principles and many things that Islam taught are going to be strange to people. And from among these strange matters that many people don't know and are heedless of even today, are al-ashhurul hurum, the sacred months. How many Muslims know about the sacred months and what to do in these months and what to avoid during these months? What are al-ashhurul hurum? What are they? And what is required from the believers? Listen, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا 4 حُرُمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that indeed the number of months with Allah are 12 months. There are 12 months of the year. In the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the registry of Allah, يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, from the day Allah created the heavens and the earth, He made 12 months for the year. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, مِنْهَا 4 حُرُمٍ. From among the 12 months of the year, there are 4 months that are sacred. We're going to speak of what does sacred mean? We'll speak about this. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith explained to us which 4 months of the 12 months are the sacred months, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, السَّنَةُ 12 شَهْرًا. The year is 12 months. مِنْهَا 4 حُرُمٍ. And there are 4 months that are sacred. ثَلَاثَةٌ مُتَوَالِيَاتٌ. 3 months that come consecutive right after each other. And they are ذُو الْقِعْدَةِ, which is the month we are in right now. ذُو الْقِعْدَةِ. وَذُو الْحِجَّةِ, the month after. And the beginning of the year, which is الْمُحَرَّمُ. And then he said, وَرَجَبُ مُضَرٌ. And the month of Rajab. These are the 4 sacred months in Islam. Dhul-Qi'dah, which is the month we're in now, it was called Dhul-Qi'dah. The word Qi'dah comes from the word Qu'ud, to sit down. This month was called the month of sitting down. Basically, it refers to the fact that there was no fighting in this month. There was no fighting. The Arabs would sit down and not fight in this month. Dhul-Hijjah, it was called Dhul-Hijjah because it's the month of Hajj. Wal-Muharram is called Muharram because killing in this month and initiating war is haram. It's made impermissible. And then there is the month of Rajab Mudar. It was called Rajab and it was ascribed to the Arab nation or the Arab tribe known as Mudar. And it was attributed to them because this tribe, Mudar, was the most tribe from among the Arab tribes that would honor the month of Rajab and not initiate any war or spill any blood in this month. So it was ascribed to them, Rajab. And also, in other, the ulama, rahimahumullah, also would refer to it as Rajabul Fard, Rajab, the individual month, because it comes alone. The other 3 sacred months come after each other. Dhul-Qi'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab comes later. It is separated from these 3 months. والأشهر الحرم, the sacred months, were called sacred months, were called أشهر حرم, because it is haram to start wars in them and to spill blood in them. It is haram, except if the enemy was to attack the believers, then the believers can defend themselves. Otherwise, for believers to initiate war in them, it is haram. So they were called al-ashhur al-hurum. And these 4 months, which we are in beginning of now, which is the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, these sacred months were sacred before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Arabs would honor these months from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They would not kill anyone in these months. They would not start any wars. They would not oppress anyone. They would not steal the possession of others. And these are disbelievers of Quraysh and the Arabs. These 4 months were so sacred that even the mushrik, the Arab kafir, al-Qurayshiyin, the Quraysh people, the kuffar, and the Arab tribes that were disbelievers honored these months. And they would not do anything wrong in these months. Yani to the point where the killer, if he, the murderer, the one who murdered someone, if he walked past the family of the victim, if he walked past the family of the one who he killed from their family, the family members will not retaliate and they would not kill him. None of this would happen in Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum. That's how sacred they were among the Arabs. So imagine us as believers, we're supposed to honor these months even more, because Allah Azza wa Jal made them hurum. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's the one who made them sacred. And whoever would violate the sacredness of these months and do something wrong in them and spill blood and oppress others, then he would be severely punished by Quraysh and the Arab tribes. My brothers and sisters in Islam, these months, Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum, these months, these sacred months, are an intensive training course for the believer. We are being trained to respect and honor that which Allah Azza wa Jal has made sacred. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah, where He declared 4 sacred months, He mentioned one thing that we are supposed to keep away. And this is how we honor these sacred months. There is something major that we need to keep away from. Allah Azza wa Jal did not say, do not steal during these months. He did not say, do not commit zina in these months. He did not say, do not gamble and cheat and lie in these months. He didn't say this. He used a word that is much more comprehensive and encompasses everything that is haram. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves. Do not wrong yourselves. Do not oppress yourselves. Al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they say that this could be understood in 2 ways. Either this part of the ayah, this command, do not wrong yourselves, could refer to all the 12 months of the year, or it could be referring to the 4 sacred months. And whatever the case is, it is definitely known that it is forbidden for a person to wrong himself throughout the year. But it becomes especially forbidden and extremely, extremely dangerous and emphasized that a believer is not to wrong himself especially during the 4 sacred months, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. Wallah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves. And what does this mean? It carries a few meanings. The first thing is, it is saying don't wrong yourself. How does a person wrong himself? By committing sins and disobedience, leaving out the obligations, or committing the prohibitions that Allah told us to keep away from. If a person leaves out the obligation, Salat al-Fajr or Salat al-Dhuhr, or he leaves out anything that Allah obligated upon him, then he is wronging himself. And if a person was to commit the sins, Az-Zina, Ar-Riba, or the evil munkarat and sins that Allah Azza wa Jal told us to keep away from, such as wearing impermissible clothing and walking out of the house, or smoking, or wearing gold for men, and the sins that we know about, and the sins of the tongues, the sins of the hands, the sins of the eyes and the ears, all of this, if a person was to commit sins, then he is wronging himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not wrong yourselves. This is an indication to the fact that when you commit a sin or you neglect an obligation, you're only harming yourself. You're not harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal is not in need of your worship, and he is not harmed by your sin and your wrongdoing. He said, don't wrong yourself, because you're the one that is going to suffer the consequence of the sin in this life, in the grave, and in the afterlife. For Allah Azza wa Jal said, do not wrong yourself. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ also means do not wrong others, do not oppress others, and do not harm and insult others. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ So what's the idea? If Allah Azza wa Jal said, do not wrong yourself, how do we say that it means do not wrong others and do not oppress others? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, in the same manner, you do not like and you do not love to harm yourself, then do not harm others. So harming yourself or harming others is like harming yourself. When you oppress someone else, you're the one that's going to earn the sin. You're the one that is going to be punished. As a result, you harmed yourself. You wronged yourself. وَالظُّلْمْ الظُّلْمْ Oppression is of many forms. The highest form of ظُلْمْ is to associate partners with Allah and to worship others besides Allah. الشِّرْك, right? This is the worst form of ظُلْمْ. And then to wrong others, to oppress others, and then to wrong yourself by doing sins. These are the stages of ظُلْمْ. And Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us to avoid ظُلْمْ. Avoid wronging yourself throughout the year, but then especially in the 4 months, in the Ashhur al-Hurum, the sacred months, we are supposed to keep away from sins and oppression in all its form, because it has a severe consequence and a severe danger for the one who disobeys Allah during the sacred months. Such a person did not honor what Allah Azza wa Jal made sacred. And al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, the scholars, they have mentioned that the sins that a person commits in the sacred months are worse than the sins that are committed outside the sacred months. Yani, during the sacred months, or in sacred places like Mecca or Medina, the sins that are committed are greater in their quality. You know, there's quality and quantity, quality and quantity. Now, when a person commits a sin in the sacred months, in terms of quantity, it's not multiplied. Yani, one sin is not multiplied to 10 sins. It's not multiplied to 10 sins. But its quality is great. Meaning, disobeying Allah during the sacred months equals to one sin, one sin, one sin. It's not multiplied in number. But it's severe. It is a big deal. Sinning in the sacred months is not like sinning in other months. We need to understand this. This is what it means that these months are sacred. It is a major crime to commit a sin during the sacred months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically commands that we should not wrong ourselves during these sacred months. What does that mean? My brothers and sisters in Islam, you see, the point here is that we are being trained to rethink what sin and disobedience actually means. During the sacred months, we are being told to rethink what are the dangers of sins and transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean to disobey Allah azza wa jal? Like, look at Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, when he committed a major sin and he did not go out with battle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't go out on a battle with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a major sin in Islam. At-takhallufu ala al-ghazw. And Ka'b ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, Allah azza wa jal describes the terrible effect that the sin had on his soul. Allah azza wa jal, he said, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم. They faced a major calamity as a result of their sin. You see the danger of the sin? Allah Azza wa Jal, He said that the earth became tight upon them and their soul became tight upon them. Their soul weighed heavy upon them. They experienced an internal and an external calamity because of a sin. You know, a person can be experiencing an internal calamity. Yani, let's say someone is depressed or he's anxious. He's got emotional illness from within. That's an internal calamity. But then a person that is experiencing an internal calamity could not be experiencing an external calamity. Maybe on the outside, he's wealthy, he has opportunities, people love him, and so on. Then flip this. There's another type of people that could be experiencing an external calamity. People hate them, they abuse them, probably they're poor, they've lost their wealth, but they are not experiencing an internal calamity. So from within, they are peaceful, they are content, they are tranquil, and so on. But these companions, because of a major sin they committed, they were experiencing both an external calamity and an internal calamity. External, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam boycotts them and commands the entire Medina to boycott them. No one is speaking to them. No one is responding to their salam. And then their wives were told to separate and keep away from them. This is an external calamity. They felt hated by the community. And they experienced an internal calamity as well. The depression, the overwhelming depression that they went through and the sadness that they went through and the grief and the pain. Until Ka'ab radiallahu anhu would say, Wallah, the worst thing that I can think of is if the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to die, then what is going to happen with us? That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have died and he is displeased with us. And he did not talk to us. What kind of life are we going to live after this? How are we going to show our faces to the people? How are we going to face and meet Allah on the Day of Judgment? Ya Khwani, this is Ka'ab ibn Malik describing the terrible consequence of a sin upon him after he had committed one major sin. Sins are going to destroy us. That's the consequence of sins. Tightness of the chest and just difficulty, depression, anxiety, calamities. Sin is a big deal. And especially in the sacred months is a bigger deal, a greater deal. Look at the case of Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu. He fell into a sin. He gave out and let out a secret of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the Jews. And he wasn't supposed to do this. So he immediately realized that he had betrayed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He fell into a sin. So he ran straight to Al-Madinah, to Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. And he entered and he tied himself to a pillar in the masjid. And he said, I will not untie myself until I die here or until Allah reveals ayat that he has accepted my tawbah. That's the fee he had and the terrible state that he went through because of a sin. Allahu Akbar. And the woman that came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, tahhirni, O Messenger of Allah, purify me. She had committed zina, she had committed fornication. She came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said to him, O Messenger of Allah, purify me, meaning establish Allah's law upon me, stone me to death because I had committed a zina. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, go and give birth. She went and gave birth. Then she came back. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, go back and breastfeed this child and look after him until he's able to stand on his two feet and eat alone. And she went 2 years and breastfed him. Until then, she came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, tahhirni ya Rasulullah, purify me, Allahu Akbar. 3 years went by. And the burning sensation and the heat of the sin is still burning in her heart. That's the people of the past. One sin would bother them. One sin would affect them. Allahu Akbar. And so the sins have a major consequence on our bodies and on our souls. We live depressed, miserable lives with sins. Now imagine times this by 10 when a person commits a sin during the sacred months. The sacred months are a big deal. Allah Azza wa Jal made them sacred. And Allah Azza wa Jal told us, do not wrong yourselves. Don't commit sins during these months. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the sacred months are an opportunity for us all to really understand what are sins and what are the detrimental consequences and what are the dangers of sins. Allahu Akbar, we need to be aware and wake up to ourselves. And this is why in this lesson, we're going to explain the consequences, the dangerous, severe consequences of sins upon us. 3 months in a row, we are going to be trained what it means to disobey Allah and to sin. 3 months. Allahu Akbar. And today, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the sinful Muslims today, they act as though everyone is guaranteed paradise. And they fail to recognize that Adam alayhi salam was removed from the paradise because of one sin. And Iblis was removed from the paradise forever because of disobeying one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sin. It's not something easy. It's not something light. It is a huge and it's a heavy deal. Do you know what it means to disobey Allah? Disobeying the Creator that created you and fed you and nourished you and sustained you and maintained you and this the entire world and the entire universe. And He keeps it at existence. And He continues to allow your body to function and your tongue to function and your limbs to function. What does it mean to disobey Allah when you acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of all things? It's severe. It's damaging to the mind and to the heart and to the soul. When a person commits sins and he does not repent and does not turn to Allah Azza wa Jal in forgiveness. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we want to speak about the consequences of sins. What are the dangers of sins? And I'm going to list them one after the other. So sit back and listen carefully and write the notes that you'll need to write so that you can always remember these things, because you need these points to keep you away from sins, especially during these sacred months. And we have just started Dhul-Qa'dah. And there is Dhul-Hijjah Sin and Sid Muharram and then Rajab. The first consequence of sinning, and this we're speaking about a person who sins and does not repent. Sin after sin after sin, and he doesn't repent. Number one is that the heart eventually becomes sick and black. Slowly, slowly, but surely, the heart will become black and sick and diseased. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا نُكِتَ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءٌ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whenever the slave commits a sin, dhanban, any sin, minor or major, any sin, nukita fi qalbihi nukta sawda, a black dot is imprinted on his heart. Just one sin will imprint a black dot on the heart. Every backbiting, every cigarette that is smoked, every nakedness you're watching, every evil word that is said, every missed prayer, every oppression against others, especially family members, every evil desire that you fulfilled, every lustful look at men and women, all of these sins and many more, every time the slave sins, there is a black dot imprinted on the heart. Until a person continues to sin, and every time it's a sin, it's another black dot, a black dot, a black dot, until finally the entire heart becomes black. The heart eventually dies. The heart eventually dies. There is a narration that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to Musa alayhi salam and said to him, Ya Musa, Inna awwala man mata min khalqi Iblis. Allah said to Musa, O Musa, the first of my creation that died was Iblis. وَذَاكَ أَنَّهُ عَصَانِي. And that is because he disobeyed me. You see, disobedience and sins lead to the death of the heart of a person. وَإِنَّمَا أَعُدُّ مَنْ عَصَانِي مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ. And Allah said to Musa, and I count and consider those who disobey and sin against me from among the dead. The one who sins and does not repent and continues to sin, he is preparing his heart for death. He's killing his heart. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that when the slave commits a sin, we said a black dot is inscribed and imprinted on his heart. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, فَإِذَا هُوَ نَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ, if he stopped and he sought Allah's forgiveness and said astaghfirullah, وَتَاب, and he repented to Allah, سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ, his heart becomes polished, brand new, white and clean. وَإِنْ عَاد, but if he returns to the sin and does not repent, زِيدَ فِيهَا, the black dots will continue to increase, حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ, until it overtakes his heart, the heart becomes black altogether. وَهُوَ الرَّانِ, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is the rust that is on the heart that Allah mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah spoke about the state of the heart, that it reaches the state of arran, that the entire heart is rusted. And you know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, when the heart reaches this state in where it becomes fully black and dead, that's when it becomes blind. That's when a person becomes blinded. He does not know the good from the bad. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا إلا ما أشرب من هواه. If a person's heart is fully black and it's dead, his heart becomes blind, and the blindness of the heart is for a believer not to recognize the good for what it is and not to recognize the bad for what it is. You will see the good as bad and the bad as good. Such a person begins to praise the evil, begins to praise what's bad, and he will condemn that which is good. And don't we see this today? Look at today. Look at Muslims that promote haram relationships. These people, their hearts are dead. How can haram relationships, be seen as something positive? How can it be seen as something good? The only one who can see haram relationships as something good is a person whose heart has died. And the heart has died because of an accumulation of sins that he hasn't repented from. Allahu Akbar. This is the first consequence of sins, that the heart becomes black and dies and it becomes blind. No one can, you can't tell what's good and bad anymore. You're praising what's evil and you're condemning that which is good. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, you all know what I mean. And you know what? And you understand what I'm saying. There are so many people that are coming out today, so-called Muslims, that will promote homosexuality and promote every haram that we know of. They promote shirk ideologies such as feminism and democracy and other isms that are being promoted, saying that all this conforms with Islam, all this is praised in Islam. Wait, how? How is it praised in Islam? The only way to praise what's evil, the only understanding to this is that the heart has died. And it has died because of an accumulation of sins that you haven't repented from. Allahu Akbar. So even this is the first consequence of sins. The second consequence of sins is that a person is deprived success and barakah in this life. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. The one who obeys Allah, the one who fears Allah, what does that mean? By doing what Allah commanded and avoiding that which Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited. That's يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. The one who يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Allah Azza wa Jal will ease his affairs. He'll make his affairs easy. So opposite to this is true. The one who does not fear Allah, the one who commits sins and avoids the obligations, then يَجْعَلُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عُسْرًا. Allah Azza wa Jal will not ease his affairs. He'll make his affairs difficult. And we need Allah Azza wa Jal to make our life affairs easy. We need barakah. in our lives. Because every single day we are making decisions. And every day we are seeking, we need Allah's help and we need His success and barakah in our life. So the second consequence of sins, especially in these sacred months, and not repenting from your sins, it is going to deprive the one who sins of success and barakah in his life. Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he was very wealthy. And one day, he lost a lot of his wealth, went bankrupt. So then he said, هَذَا ذَنْبٌ أَنْتَظِرُ عُقُوبَتَهُ مُنْذُ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. He says, this calamity that I've been afflicted with, that I have lost all my wealth, this calamity is because of one sin. I have been waiting its consequence for 40 years. So they said to him, what was the sin that you committed 40 years ago? He said to them, عَيَّرْتُ رَجُلًا وَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا فَقِيرٌ. He said, I insulted someone 40 years ago. And I said to him, O poor man. Yani, he insulted him. He spoke a bad word. He referred to him as a beggar, as a poor man. So then Ibn Sirin can, now 40 years later, he's deprived barakah and success in his life. He falls into a major calamity. He loses all his wealth. But subhanallah, Ibn Sirin rahimahullah is very quick to tie his calamity. And he says, this is because of a sin I did 40 years ago. Allahu Akbar. And their sins were so minimal that he can remember his sins. He can remember this one was because of 40 years ago. Allahu Akbar. Their sins were so, they didn't have much sins. So he was able to reflect on the sin that he did and what consequence it caused him in his life. The third consequence of sins, if you do not repent from them and you commit them one after the other, that the sinner will become detached from righteous people and from righteous gatherings. Oh Allah, Allahu Akbar, this is so true. Don't you feel that when you commit sin after sin after sin, and you do not repent to Allah and seek forgiveness, that somehow you begin to detach yourself from righteous people, and you no longer are able to attend al-masajid, and attend Islamic lectures and religious gatherings that remind you of Allah and about your deen and your faith and Islam? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنَّ لِلْمَعْصِيَةِ بُغْضًا فِي قُلُوبِ الْخَلْقِ. He said, the sins, they cause hatred in the hearts of people towards the sinners. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the one who frequently commits sins and doesn't repent, one of the major consequences is that it leads to the people all of a sudden developing hate for him. Allah Azza wa Jal instills in the hearts of the righteous hate for the sinners. Aisha radiallahu anha, she wrote to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, she wrote to him, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا عَمِلَ بِمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَادَ حَامِدُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ ذَامًا لَهُ. She wrote to him that the slave who continuously engages in sins and disobedience, pretty much later on, those who praise him would rebel against him and begin to disgrace him. They'll hate him. وَأَبُو الدَّرْدَاء رضي الله عنه, he said, لِيَحْذَرَ الْمَرْءُ أَن تَلْعَنَهُ قُلُوبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُ. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, beware and be careful that the hearts of men, that the hearts of the believers do not curse you without you realizing from where this came from. So they said, Ya Abu Darda, how do the hearts of the believers curse people? He said, يَخْلُو بِمَعَاصِ اللَّهِ فَيُلْقِ اللَّهُ بُغْضَهُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَهُوَ لَا يَشْعُرُ. Abu Darda, he said, a person would seclude himself and commit sins and transgression and disobedience against Allah. As a result, Allah Azza wa Jal will instill in the hearts of believers hatred for that sinner, and that sinner doesn't even realize. All of a sudden, this sinner begins to detach from the righteous. He begins to detach from al-masajid. He'll detach from righteous gatherings that remind him of Allah and Islam and Iman. And there is this kind of friction between the righteous and the sinner. This is because of sins. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا تَوَادَّ أَثْنَانِ فِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَوْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَفُرِّقَ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا ذَنْبٌ يُحْدِثُهُ أَحَدُهُمَا. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, there are no two people who love each other for the sake of Allah, for the reason of Islam. And then there's a separation between them. This could be either husband and wife, or brothers with their brothers, brotherhood in Islam, sisterhood, whatever it is. There are no two people that loved each other for Allah's sake, and then they were split. They split among each other. The reason being that one of them committed a sin. One of them is on a path of sins and he is not repenting from his sins. And he's just committing sin after sin after sin, not caring and not repenting and not seeking Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. You must recognize this. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not join the righteous and the sinners together. If they're not together in the afterlife, how are they going to be together in this worldly life? Sinners are friends of each other. And believers and those who are obedient to Allah are friends of each other. So that's the third consequence of sins, that you will find when you continuously commit sin, non-stop, no tawbah, no istighfar, that pretty much you will find yourself detached from righteous company. And you will find that the righteous begin to hate you and you don't even realize, why are they hating me for? Allah instilled in their heart hatred for you. Allahu Akbar. This is a danger. This is a danger. And this is an extreme consequence. And then why am I sharing this for you during this month? Because this is the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, we said. It's a sacred month. And the sacred months, disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal is a no-go zone. Keep away from transgression and wronging yourself, especially in these sacred months. The fourth consequence of sins, continual sins without repentance and istighfar, is that a person's heart becomes disgraced. Allahu Akbar. One of the ulama, rahimahumullah, would say, رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبَ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبَ وَقَدْ يُورِثُ الذُّلَّ إِدْمَانُهَا وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ. Beautiful poetic words. He said that I have seen sins, they cause death to the heart. رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبَ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ. I have seen that sins kill the heart, they cause its death. وَقَدْ يُورِثُ الذُّلَّ إِدْمَانُهَا. And the heart becomes disgraced when a person is addicted to sins. When a person is consistent in his sins and he just doesn't give up and doesn't repent and seek Allah's forgiveness. وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ. And abandoning sins, keeping away from them, fighting your desire, asking Allah to aid you to keep away from sins. When you leave the sins out, that the result is hayatul qulub. It brings this heart back to life. Once again, you can see guidance. You'll see the goodness as being good. You'll see what's bad. You'll avoid it. Huh? Now you can see and you have insight and wisdom. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, from among the consequences of sins, and this is the fifth one that we reach to, is that the consistent sinner is deprived of the knowledge, of the light of knowledge, and he is deprived of wisdom. Allahu Akbar. Wallah, wallah, this is such a severe consequence that one ought to cry from. Wallah. Sins that you do not repent from. The result, the consequence is that you are deprived of the light of knowledge and deprived of wisdom. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he used to attend the classes of Al-Imam Malik. You know, Al-Imam Malik was the teacher of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. Well, Imam Malik recognized that Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i was an intelligent, bright young man. So he gave him advice one day. And he said to him, إِنِّي أَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَلْقَى عَلَى قَلْبِكَ نُورًا فَلَا تُطْفِئْهُ بِظُلْمَةِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. He said to him, O Shafi'i, His name was Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. قال يا محمد, I can see that Allah Azza wa Jal has casted in your heart light. So do not extinguish this light with the darkness of sins and disobedience and transgression. Allahu Akbar. لأن sins, this is what it would result in. Deprived of knowledge, deprived of guidance, and deprived of wisdom. والشافعي رحمه الله, once he glanced at a woman's ankle. A woman was walking, and he glanced at her ankle, and he had forgotten some knowledge. This is a known story. He, الشافعي رحمه الله, mentions it. He said, so I went to my teacher وكيع, and I complained to him. And he said in famous poetic words, شكوت إلى وكيع سوء حفظي فأرشدني إلى ترك المعاصي وقال لي اعلم بأن العلم نور ونور الله لا يؤتاه عاصي. الإمام الشافعي says, I went to وكيع, my teacher, and I complained to him about سوء حفظي. I had forgotten some knowledge. It was becoming difficult to memorize. والشافعي was an incredible memorizer. Allahu Akbar, Allah Azza wa Jal had given him so much that he was able to memorize just by looking at a page. He would cover one page of the book and he would look at one and he would memorize it. So then his teacher Waqi' said to him, Tarki al-Ma'asi. He said to him, leave the sins, avoid sins. And then he said to him, I'lam bi anna al-'ilma nur. You better know that knowledge is light, and the light of Allah is not given to a sinner, is not given to someone who is disobedient. Therefore, sinning against Allah, a sinner, a consistent sinner that does not repent and seek Allah's forgiveness, will be deprived of the light of Allah, will be deprived of knowledge and wisdom. Ma'ath Allah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us and that He bestow His forgiveness and mercy upon us. The sixth severe, dangerous consequence of committing sins is that a believer or a person would be deprived of true happiness. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. It is Allah who makes the servants laugh, and it is He who makes them cry. Allah Azza wa Jalla possesses the ability to make a person laugh or to make a person cry. He has the ability to make someone happy or make someone sad, and He gives true happiness to His righteous servants. Because that's what Allah Azza wa Jal taught us. Allah Azza wa Jal will only give true happiness and contentment of the heart to those who follow the path of Allah. So the one who continuously sins is going to be deprived of true happiness. And he will see misery in his life, as Allah Azza wa Jal, He promises in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. The one who turns away from my remembrance. When you turn away from Allah's remembrance, this entails many things. You avoid the obligations, you commit the sins, you neglect the remembrance of Allah, you're in a state of heedlessness of Allah 24/7 of your life. Man a'rada an dhikri, the one who turns away from Allah, Allah promised, fa inna lahu ma'ishatan danka. For such a person is a miserable, depressing life. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal will give him, sadness in his life. So continuous sins with no turning to Allah and no repentance, such a person is deprived of true happiness of the heart and true contentment and peace of the heart. The seventh consequence of sins, and this is a very dangerous one as well, and that is that sins, the consequence of sins is that one sin leads to another sin. And you just won't be able to have enough of sins. You will never be satisfied with one sin. You will continuously commit one sin after another, after another, after another. You just don't know how to stop. Allahu Akbar. And this is danger. Wallahi, this is danger. And this is taken from Qawlillahi Ta'ala. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمُهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ. Listen. Listen to where we got this. A beautiful story. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He told us the story in Surah Al-Baqarah about Talut and Jalut. Eventually, Talut he was the king of the believers, that he was going to take these believers and enter into Bayt al-Maqdis. So they crossed, they now left Jordan or wherever they were, and they were heading now towards Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem. And they passed by a river. They passed by a river, the river of Jordan. Talut said to the believers, he said to Bani Israel that were with him, he said to them, listen, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. Allah is going to test you people with a river. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ. Anyone who drinks from this river is not going to be from among us because he has disobeyed Allah. It is not allowed to drink from this river. Allah Azza wa Jal wants us not to drink from this river. Why? What's the wisdom? What's the reason? I don't know. Allah said, do not drink from this river. Allah is testing our commitment. Are we going to obey him and submit to him or not? And imagine these people are traveling. This is an army traveling. And they get to a river. It looks so fresh and beautiful and tasty. And they're all thirsty and they want to drink. Allah is testing them to see, do they submit to his command or not? So Talut said to them, the river that we're going to come to soon, haram, not allowed to drink from it. إِلَّا مَنْ اِغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً. Except whoever drinks one handful only. Whoever drinks one handful, that is permissible, it's permitted, and it's fine. That's halal. So many of them, Allah said, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ. All of them, once they got to this river, and they know it's haram to drink from it, except only a handful, they all drank from it. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Except a few, they obeyed Allah and only drank one handful. You know what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, and this is the point here. Ibn Abbas said, those who kept drinking handful after handful after handful, so those who kept drinking were never quenched of their thirst. They were not satisfied. They remained thirsty. And those who drank one handful obeyed Allah's command, their thirst was quenched and they were satisfied. Allahu Akbar. The one who sins will never have enough. Yani look at the one who commits a zina. You think one time zina is enough? Zina, or tomorrow, or after tomorrow, or after tomorrow. A person who commits zina doesn't commit zina once. He continues to commit zina, he just doesn't know how to stop. And he is never content and never satisfied. That's al-haram. You will never have enough. Al-haram is not satisfying. It is not fulfilling. The one who drinks alcohol, Allahu Akbar. And do you know, those people that go to the bars and to the pubs and clubs and whatever it is, and they got these big cups and the schooners and whatever it is, and they drink alcohol. They drink 10 cups in one sitting. Wallah, this is true. This is a fact about people who drink alcohol. Have you heard of someone drinking 10 cups of water in one sitting? I don't know of this. How can people drink 10 cups of alcohol in one sitting? Because sins are never ever fulfilling. They are not satisfying. You will always be thirsty and hungry to commit sin after sin. So one sin leads to another sin. You can never be fulfilled when it comes to sins. And look at drugs as well. A person takes a drug, something haram, he continues to do so. And gambling. When people gamble once, khalas, it opens up a door of addiction. He's gambling every single day. You see the sins? They have an addictive nature to it. And that's why, that's because of one sin you do not repent from. It leads to another sin, to another sin, to another sin, and you will just not have enough. Now look at the other side. When a person does something halal, when a person is married, halal, wallahi, one is enough. If not two, three, four, enough, khalas. When you drink something halal, like a cup, one cup of water is enough. I don't need to sit down and drink 10. One cup is enough. It quenches your thirst for that time. Al-halal, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is satisfying. It quenches. But al-haram, you will never be satisfied. And that is a consequence of sin. That's the consequence of sins that you do not repent from and seek forgiveness. One will lead to another. Allah Azza wa Jal, he described companions in the Quran. And he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا. Allah Azza wa Jal describes a calamity upon the believers. He says, those among you, يعني among the Sahaba that ran away يوم التقى الجمعان when the two armies met. يعني the army of the believers and the army of the disbelievers met on the day of Uhud. And many of the companions ran away by the end of that day on that battle, the battle of Uhud, because the disbelievers seemed to have an upper hand and so on. So a lot of the believers ran away. Later on, Allah would forgive them, but focus on this ayah. Allah says, those who ran away on the battle of Uhud, and that's a sin. To run away from the battle, it's a sin. It's a major sin. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the reason for why they committed this sin of running away from the battle. He said, إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا. That الشيطان caused them to slip. الشيطان caused them to commit the sin of running away from the battle because of مَا كَسَبُوا, because of what they had earned. What did they earn? A sin, some sin of the past. So the sin of the past led to this new sin, which was running away from the battlefield. And that's what al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, that the sign of a good deed is a good deed after it. And the sign of a bad deed is a bad deed that comes after it. Bad deeds, sins, lead to more sins, unless a person repents and seeks Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. And for those companions, of course, they repented and Allah Azza wa Jal accepted their forgiveness within the same ayah when he said, وَلَقَدْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. والعلماء رحمهم الله, they said that المعاصي بريد الكفر, that sins are a road and a pathway to disbelief. Now, what does that mean? It means when a person commits a sin and commits another sin and a sin and a sin, eventually this leads to a person disbelieving. This leads to kufr, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ مَعَاذَ اللَّهُ. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us. And we see this true today. Wallahi, we see it, and I see it in my eye every day. People, they commit a sin initially, right? And then it leads to another sin, and another sin, and another sin, until the sin has become normalized in their life. Then they have the courage to come out with their sin and talk it in public, and not feel any shame, and feel like this is the right thing to do. And they praise this sin. Eventually they ascribe it to Allah. And they say, no, this is not haram in Islam. This is actually permissible. Such a person has become a kafir. If you make halal what Allah has made haram, you are a disbeliever. You have just disbelieved. You see how sins lead to kufr. Allahu Akbar. For this is the consequence of sins that you do not repent from. The eighth consequence of sin is that a person hates himself. Oh Allah, Allah, sinners hate themselves. Those who have a habit of sins and consistent and do not repent, they hate themselves. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنَادَوْنَ لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he addresses the disbelievers on the day of judgment. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve, the kuffar, on the day of judgment will be addressed. What will be said to them? لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. It will be told to them that the hatred of Allah for you people is greater than the hate you have for yourself. Allah will hate the disbelievers that are in the hellfire more than they hate themselves. So there is a state in where a person can reach to hate himself. Like, why did they hate themselves? And why does Allah hate them more than they hated themselves? إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. Because whenever you are called to faith, whenever you are called to iman, whenever you are called to righteous deeds, whenever you are told, keep away from sins, فتكفرون, you would refuse, you would reject. As a result, a person hates himself. Wallahi, the sinners hate themselves. Don't be impressed by the external look. Wallah, don't be impressed by the external look of sinners. Today, there are women that wear tight clothing and barely scarfed, not adhering to the Islamic hijab and walking out and saying that this is permissible. No problems. This is what Allah legislated for us as clothing. Yeah, it's fine. What's the big deal with my clothing? Look, it's tight. It's wrong. Your body figure is showing. Your skin is showing. Some of your hair is showing. Some of your chest is showing. The shape of your hand is showing when she wears a jacket or whatever it is that reveals the body shape. This is not hijab. This is haram. Wallah, do not be impressed that such people are actually in love of what they do. Don't be impressed if they have TikTok accounts or they have Instagram accounts in where they are exposing and revealing their beauty to the world and teaching us, mashallah, hijab tutorials and how to wear the hijab and half her neck is showing and half her body is revealed and skin tight clothing. Wallah, do not be impressed by this. Do not be impressed by her followers and her likes and whatever it is. Don't be impressed by this. This is all a fake image on the outside. But in reality, within themselves, أنفسكم, مقتكم أنفسكم, they are hating themselves. And that's if the heart is still alive, if it's still beating, if it still has fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, they would acknowledge that this is a terrible sin. And this goes to any kind of sin. And I just mentioned this as an example because this is something that is on the boom today, on the rise. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect the believing woman and the believing men and to keep us away from al-fitan. Allahumma astur awratina wa amir rawatina. This was a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would continuously ask Allah, O Allah, protect our privates. Ustur, O Allah, cover and protect our awrat, our privates. And this refers to the physical privates of a person and yani the sins that he might commit, that he wants them covered and not exposed and shamed among the people. Allahumma astur awratina. This is a very important dua. And it's found in Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa', especially for women and especially for those who are in this fitna of revealing their bodies and exposing their awrah. Ma'ath Allah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us. Allahumma astur awratina wa amir rawatina. Allahumma ahfazna min bayni aydina wa min khalfina wa an aymanina wa an shama'ilina. Hada dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are supposed to be making. For this is a consequence of sins that people begin to hate themselves. And if not now, on the day of judgment, when they face the punishment for their sins, this is when they will be hating themselves. And that's when Allah would hate them more than they hate their own selves. Allahu Akbar. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The ninth consequence of sin is that a person would be deprived of doing good deeds. Heck, if you commit sin after sin after sin, you're watching the haram every night on your phone, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on whatever it is. You're chatting in haram, you're doing al-haram, you're speaking to al-haram, you're listening to al-haram, just haram and sin after sin, you will be deprived of good deeds. You won't be able to pray Fajr anymore. Many people complain, I can't wake up for Salat al-Fajr. You won't find the ability and the energy to read al-Quran. All of a sudden you find yourself stingy and you cannot donate and give sadaqat anymore. Why? And you say, why am I being deprived of doing good? Because of your sins that you haven't repented from and sought forgiveness from. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he said, I was deprived of the night prayer, Qiyamul Layl, for 5 months because of the sins I used to commit. Or he said, because of a sin, one sin I committed. A man came to al-Hasan al-Basri, radiyallahu anhu wa rahimah, and he said to him, I cannot pray the night prayers. He said to him, قَيَّدَتْكَ ذُنُوبُكَ. Your sins have shackled you down. They are those that have deprived you from praying the night and doing good. A man asked Al-Hasan Al-Basri, give me advice. How do I pray the nights? He said to him, do not disobey Allah during the day and He will allow you to stand in prayer at night. Allahu Akbar. You're deprived of doing good when you continuously sin and you do not repent. Imagine how much more you're going to be deprived of good when a person sins, especially in these sacred months that Allah Azza wa Jal told us specifically, لا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم, do not wrong yourselves and sin during these months. The 10th consequence is that a person who continuously sins and doesn't repent develops a relationship with sin until he begins to love it. Ma'ayad Allah. Wallahi, this is a very dangerous state. When a person first commits a sin, he is terrible. He feels bad and unhappy and disgusted with himself. The next time he commits it and the third time he commits it, eventually it becomes normal. And he perhaps reaches a level where he loves the sin. You will love the sin if you continuously sin and do not repent and seek Allah's forgiveness. When a person first smokes, he doesn't want to do it in front of anyone. He keeps away from everyone's eye, from his family, from his mother, everyone. But then, months later, years later, he can't live without it. He has developed a relationship with it. He will smoke in front of others and doesn't care. Allahu Akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, all sinners are forgiven, except al-mujahirun, except those who publicly announce their sin. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And this is what happens. People would wear impermissible clothing, something that is displeasing to Allah, from men or women. At first, they are shy. They are embarrassed. Oh, how am I going to be received by the Muslim community? What am I wearing? Look what I'm wearing, all these tight clothing and this revealing al-awrat and so on. One day, 2 days, 3 days, and then he or she cannot live without wearing this cloth and walking out in society. To the point that what is pleasing to Allah becomes very difficult. If we say, sister, brother, wear the Islamic dress code. This sister would say, it's very hard. It's difficult for me to wear hijab. I don't know how to wear it. I don't know how I will be received by the community. I can't. It's difficult. How can something that Allah loves become difficult upon you to do? And something that is displeasing to Allah, you love doing and find no shame and embarrassment in it. That is the consequence of sins. That is the consequence of not seeking forgiveness and repenting from your sins. A person, when he commits a sin at the beginning, he's embarrassed from Allah. He is shy. But then he continues this sin, and such a person is stripped from al-haya. Modesty and shyness is removed from him altogether. And when shyness is completely removed of a person, when shyness, when modesty is completely stripped from a person, all his good is gone. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Al-haya'u kulluhu khayr. Shyness and modesty, all of it is good. So when a person doesn't have modesty and shyness anymore, he has no more goodness. He left nothing good for himself. Ma'adha Allah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us. And the final matter I discuss with you in terms of the consequences of sins is that a person who continuously sins and does not repent, he is deprived from the dua of angels. And not any kind of angels, the highest ranking angels, those who carry the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in Surah Ghafir, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَاغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا واتبعوا سبيلك وقهم عذاب الجحيم ربنا وادخلهم جنات عدن التي وعدتهم ومن صلح من آبائهم وأزواجهم وذرياتهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم وقهم السيئات. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in the ayat that the angels who carry the throne, they exalt Allah, they declare Allah's perfection and they praise Allah. And they also believe in Allah and they seek forgiveness for the believers. These are the angels that carry the arsh. They seek forgiveness for believers. Yani this is angels making dua for believers. The angels would say, and this is happening every day, the highest ranking angels are saying every day, O our Lord, they say, Rabbana, you have encompassed all things in mercy and knowledge. You know everything. And you bestow your mercy upon everything. Then they say, O Allah, forgive those who have repented. Even the sinner that is continuous in his sin and doesn't repent is deprived of the dua of the angels that is happening every day for believers who are seeking Allah's forgiveness. They say, O Allah, forgive those who repent, وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ, and those who follow your path. They enjoin the good, they forbid the evil, they do their obligations, they keep away from the prohibitions. وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and these angels are making dua for the believers that repent, saying, O Allah, spare them the punishment of the fire. Protect them from the punishment of the fire. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنِ, O Allah, admit them into the paradise. Allow them to abide in there forever. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ, and admit their righteous forefathers in there. وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ, and their likes and their wives and their partners. وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ, and all the righteous children. O Allah, admit all these people into the paradise with these people that repent and seek your forgiveness always. وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ, and save them from the consequences of their sins. Do not punish them for their sins. This is a dua that the angels are making. You know, today, when you find someone righteous, people are always eager to go to someone righteous. Please make dua for me. Sheikh, make dua for me. Scholar, please make dua for me. Look, but more than this is an angel's dua for you. Do you want the angel's dua for you? Stop your sins and repent and seek Allah's forgiveness. Automatically, that would earn you the highest ranking angel's dua. How good is this? Amma, the continuous sinner, the consistent sinner that does not seek forgiveness and repent, one of the severe consequences is that such a person is deprived from the dua of the high ranking angels. Allahu Akbar. And then sins, they have a communal consequence, right? In where calamities would come down, earthquakes, whatever it is that we are seeing today, viruses, pandemics, all of this is because of communal sins. When the entire world is sinning, we are living in a time where Allah has never been disobeyed in the manner He's been disobeyed today. Allahu Akbar. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us and to protect us. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, that corruption, calamities has appeared throughout the land and on sea because of what hands of people have earned. The sins, because of the sins that people have done. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives these sins so perhaps people wake up and they repent and turn to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us during these 4 months, these sacred months, avoid wronging yourself. لَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not oppress yourselves, do not wrong yourselves. And we said this also means don't wrong others, do not oppress others. Perhaps when you oppress someone in this life, Allah would hasten the punishment and you'll be punished for it in this life. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in al-Hadith al-Qudsi, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. I have made oppression wrong, haram upon myself, so do not oppress one another. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He gave advice to Mu'adh, and He said to him, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. Beware and be careful of the supplication of the oppressed person, because there is no curtain and barrier between it and Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if the one you oppressed is a disbeliever, if he made dua to Allah against you, the oppressor, Allah would answer it. Allah would answer it either sooner or later. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was going to qawman ahla kitab. He was going to disbelievers. And he was going to them to teach them the message of Islam. And it is to them who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say to Mu'adh, do not oppress them, be careful. And beware of the dua of the oppressed one among them. And these are disbelievers. So imagine when you oppress a believer. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, لَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong each other. Wallah, illa haram, haram, al-zulm, haram. Husband to wife, wife to husband, husband to children, parents to their children. What is happening with relationships today? There's so many people oppressing others, cheating each other, scamming each other, stealing each other's wealth, have debts that are unpaid. All of these are means of oppression, abuse, whether it's verbal abuse or emotional abuse or psychological abuse or physical abuse, all of this is dhulm. It is oppression. Or people shooting each other, murdering each other, killing each other, cursing each other, insulting each other. All this is forms of abuse. And all of it is haram. It is all oppression. And you know, يعني Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, he warns the oppressor, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Allah says, and those who have oppressed are going to soon find out what awaits them. And that is when they return to Allah after their death. You know, imagine if I wronged someone. Let's say I oppressed someone. And then that oppressed person says to me, threatening me, just wait. Just wait and see what I'm going to do to you next when I see you. How terrified and scared would I become? I become worried. People, when they are threatened by those who they oppressed, maybe pack their bags and run away from a country and travel to another world and want to disappear and change their identity altogether. Tayyib, now think, when Allah is threatening the oppressor, saying, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Allah is threatening the oppressor. And he's saying, you will find out. You, O oppressor, will find out very soon what awaits you the day you die. You will know what awaits you of Allah's anger and punishment and wrath in the hereafter. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, avoid the sins that you commit between you and yourself and the oppression and sins that you commit between you and other people. Avoid it. Seek Allah's protection from a shaytan. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep you away from sins. Make istighfar every single day. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek Allah's forgiveness 100 times a day. This is the solution. This is the solution to all our sins. Al-istighfar. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, Allah does not punish the one who seeks Allah's forgiveness, because sins are a reason for Allah's punishment. And the one who seeks Allah's forgiveness, his sins are wiped away. Therefore, there's no more reason for him to be punished. Al-istighfar saves you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, do the deeds that wipe away sins, such as at-tawbah, making wudu. Al-wudu, you do, it wipes away sins. Making dhikr of Allah after the prayers, that wipes away sins. Walking to al-masjid wipes away sins. Saying subhanallah bihamdihi 100 times, it wipes away sins, even if they were to amount the foam of the ocean. Doing a good deed after a sin wipes away the sin. Praying 2 rak'at after a sin wipes away the sin. As-sadaqah, it wipes away the sins. Do the deeds that wipe away the sins. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us and to give us the ability to keep away from sins. Finally, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we're coming to conclude this lesson now. Maybe we'll leave the conclusion of the lesson, inshallah ta'ala, for another time. Inshallah ta'ala, I will share and continue the discussion tomorrow, bi-idhnillah. We'll speak about the virtues of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, the month that we're in now. And we'll speak a few encouraging words on how to be motivated to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll speak about what is the recommended deed to be done during the sacred months. Inshallah, we'll leave that for a next time, perhaps tomorrow, a few minutes. Inshallah, we'll share that final and the conclusion of the lesson. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, to accept our sins, and to give us the ability to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala until the day we meet Him. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.